We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you?
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Look at somebody and say, good tidings of comfort and joy. Welcome to Redemption Church of Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to pastor this mighty church that loves God and loves people. Y'all know I really feel that way, right?
Yeah.
I love you guys. I'm so glad to be your pastor. We're going to jump right into it because this is a complicated time of year. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Are you going through complications? Families, divorced families. Can you imagine the complications involved in divorced families that they're going through this time of year? Hey, how about this one? Fellas, trying to find the gift that your wife will actually not hate. Open to suggestions, praying in the spirit that I would get that revelation. This is a complicated time of year. I love Christmas, but Christmas is complicated. Would you agree?
Yeah.
My goodness. There are things about this season I don't care for. I'm going to hit some of those real quick. I don't care about the materialism and greed of this season. The pictures of people storming shopping malls on Black Friday just makes me nauseous. I cannot stand that. Confusing symbols that don't point us to Christ. I'm not all that thrilled about those things, and we could argue about those things all day, but how about this? It's the busiest time of year, and it's marked with so much stress.
Yeah.
Depression is on the rise during this season. An increase of suicides happens every year in December. There are just many things I could touch on. There are many more things I could go on to that I don't really care about. I don't really like about the Christmas season, but let me tell you something I love about the Christmas season. What I love is that in this season, there's this simple fact that you can walk into a grocery store and hear lyrics proclaiming the birth of the Savior.
All right.
I love that. I love that. Even secular places are marked with the sacred message of Jesus coming into the world, and that is such an opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ. Can I just help you out real quick? Don't try to correct how people celebrate. Try to bring Jesus in the middle of the celebration. Is that good? All right. We're going to be spending the next few weeks letting our favorite Christmas carols proclaim the hope of this season to us. I would like to know real quick, what is your favorite Christmas carol? And instead of just shouting it out, we've got an anonymous text line, so pull out your phones, pull out your phones. You can pull out your phone in church, it's okay. We've got an anonymous text line, and you can text us right now your favorite Christmas carol, 214-856-0550, all right? 214-856-0550. It is anonymous, so Marshall, no one's going to know when you text in, Grandma got ran over by a reindeer, that it was you. Okay, isn't that great? It's totally anonymous. By the way, if you have questions about life, if you have questions about Redemption Church, if you have questions about the Bible, any of those things about faith, you can always text us on this line right here, 214-856-0550. Just this week, I got to talk to several people about faith. People are asking about how to make friends. People are asking about what is life, and I got to tell them that Jesus is life, and that's really awesome. Take advantage of the anonymous text line. Is it anonymous?
Yeah,
it's anonymous. We have no idea, all right? So, and as always, the Word of God. Let's look at it. Today I want to draw your attention to the song, Oh Holy Night. Raise your hand if you were already texting that in. That's like, oh, I love that song. We were singing it earlier, right? I love the song, Oh Holy Night. It's actually my favorite Christmas carol. I love O Holy Night. I imagine many of y'all were texting that song in. O Holy Night, it can bring tears to your eyes. It can send chills up and down your spine. It can bring Christian believers to their knees or to their feet in worship and applause. Yet the song was written by someone who didn't believe the message of Christianity. Did you know that? Is that news for you? You learning something today? Oh Holy Night was actually written by an atheist. All right, I don't mean to shake your faith, all right? It's okay, stay with me. Don't leave, stay here. I'm just kidding, Facebook Live, they haven't left. All right. Placide Capot. Everybody say Placide Capot. Capot. All right. Born in the 1800s, lived in the 1800s in France. At the year of 8 years old, his hand was surgically amputated following a tragic gunshot accident. Blew his hand clean off. They had to amputate it. He was disabled the rest of his life, having only one hand. In spite of Placide's handicap, he went on to win awards as an artist, a journalist, and a writer. In addition, he studied law and followed in his father's footsteps and became a successful merchant of wine. A local parish priest requested that Placide Capot write a poem about the birth of Christ. Just walk right up to a man who didn't believe in Jesus and say, hey, read this story of Christ and write me something about it. And that's why we have this song. In 1847, while traveling by a stagecoach to Paris, Placide penned the words to O Holy Night. He called it Minuet Christian. I'm butchering French, so please forgive me. Years later, a man named Adolf, composed the music for this poem. It has been a favorite song for so many ever since. A disabled wine merchant who didn't believe in Jesus used the most amazing lyrics to proclaim Jesus. So I got to just ask you, what's stopping you from proclaiming Jesus? What's holding you back? Right? Why don't you proclaim Jesus? I want to underline some of these amazing lyrics from Placide that you know oh so well. One of them that just stands out to me are these two words, weary world. Can you say weary world? It's more than just good alliteration. It's true. I think weary world describes our current situation. Do you think we live in a weary world today? If I asked you, how are you doing? We get asked that all the time. You would probably say, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm okay. But if you were really honest, you would admit that you bypassed words like, I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I'm a little confused, I'm just tired and weary. And that's the truth, isn't it? When we're asked that question, we're like, oh, we're good. Because you know what it is. Most people that ask you how you're doing, they don't really care how you're doing. It's just a filler, right? Good Lord. I'm in the middle of telling them, actually, my world's kind of caving in, and they're already walking off. They're like, so I didn't want all that. I just was like passing the time, all right? Trying to be polite by lying. All right. Weary world. Say it again.
Weary world.
You're honest, you are tired of living paycheck to paycheck. Like the majority of Americans, they're all living paycheck to paycheck. I think it's like 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, the slightest little bump in the road, and they're just like, oh my goodness, car, please start in the morning. Tires, please last. Oh goodness, please don't wear out your shoes, kids. Are you a little tired of that? I bet you're tired of the bad news that comes out of Washington. Yeah, I'm tired of that. I bet you're tired of the physical, emotional, and spiritual drain on your life. You're tired in those areas. You're tired of worrying. You are tired of the continual drum of materialism and greed, and we have to march to that drum beat. You're tired of keeping up with the comparison of others. You are tired of abuse. You are tired of hunger, and you're tired of the tragedy that's all over this world. Say amen if you are just tired.
Amen.
I'm just tired. It's okay. It's okay. Next time you are at the mall during Christmas season, I want you to take a look and look at people in the eyes, because you will see a weary world. Isn't this so fun? We're buying presents for our loved ones. That is not the face you get. It's like, if somebody even tries to get in my way, that's like the attitude going on. If somebody even takes my parking, they better not take my parking place. Like, praise God, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Weary, tired, ticked off, and angry. It's a weary world. Then I want to draw your attention to these lyrics. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. Can you say that line with me? Long lay the world in sin and error pining. This lyric from the 1800s is so accurate today. It is so accurate. Most of the action of this world can be categorized as sin or error. Sin or error. All the news of sexual misconduct from men. Anybody hear anything about that lately? It's like all we hear about. All the news of sexual misconduct of men. It's been all over the news. And we've been shocked by some of the names. But we shouldn't be shocked, because long lay the world in sin. 9 days ago, a group of Muslim extremists attacked a Muslim mosque and killed over 300 of their fellow Muslims. Anybody surprised? No, because long lay the world in sin. Mass killings in the U.S., and they used to come like a few a year, and I'm sure you agree, it feels like they're coming weekly. And we don't even have time to figure out what happened in Las Vegas, because we're already talking about the next thing. My goodness, it's the world. Long has it laid in sin. This world operates in sin. And you should understand that being in a church. You probably all came to church understanding that. If you didn't understand that, let me tell you, the world, it is full of sin. It is full of hatred. It is full of murder. It is full all of vile, disgusting things. It is full of torture and abuse. It is full of it, and it is not even a surprise, because long lay the world in sin. But also, there's another thing. There's another category I want to draw your attention to, and this one's a little trickier. It's error. Say error.
Error.
Let me tell you, there are some things that aren't sin, but they are error. How about this one? Going into debt to buy presents you wrap with paper in hopes that you will have some sort of happiness when they're opened on a certain day, the 25th. I got news for you. Long lay the world in error. That is some error. Oh, I hope that I'm just hoping this makes me happy. I'm going to go into debt. You're going to spend all of January, February, March, and April paying with interest for this one moment on the 25th. And I've got terrible news for you. Your kids are going to like that toy for about 5 seconds. You are in error if you think this is life-changing. It's not worth it. Don't do it! Look at somebody and say, don't do it. Don't go into debt this season. Don't do it. Thinking you can find fulfillment in yourself, that's error. If I could just lose 10 pounds, look at myself in the mirror, then I'd be happy. There are people thinking it. It's error. If I could attain some level of success, then I would be happy. If my bank account or my garage had the kind of car that's in my head right now, then I would be successful. People would like me. Error, error, error. Thinking the answers to all the problems in the world are political. That is so full of error, it makes me want to scream. Jesus Christ is the answer for everything. Washington has no answers. We should have that figured out by now. My goodness. In sin and in error, pining. The word pining means to suffer with longing for something that was lost. We have a world that is pining, and it doesn't quite know what it's lost, but it knows it doesn't have it, and so it looks here. It'll look in the sin category. We'll look at drugs. We'll look at pornography. We'll look at one night stands. We'll look at all these things. We'll steal if we have to. Some people will kill if they have to. Guess what? Error. It's false and it doesn't work. And then we'll go into other things like materialism. We'll go into lying so we feel better about ourselves. We will take 30,000 Instagram shots till we finally have one where we don't look hideous, and then we'll just go, no filter, just natural beauty, whatever. It's error, and we're pining for sin, we're pining for error, and we are not the first generation to do it. Long lay the world in sin. An error, pining. This weary world is looking for something we lost a long time ago in a garden named Eden, where God walked with us. We are missing it. We are not in touch with it. And we look for the wrong things. But what is this season all about? This season is about the same God who is in Genesis 1 is now robed in flesh. And once again, He's walking with us. The Bible says, and we have seen His glory, the one of the only begotten Son of God, that He is the light, He's full of grace, and He's full of truth, that He is the Word in the beginning who has put on flesh. Let me tell you, there's two things that you will not find in Jesus. You will not find sin and you will not find error. He's what you're looking for. Clap your hands if you know it. He's what I'm looking for. He's what I'm looking for. Real quick, you've got to instill in your family that He's what you're looking for in the season. Sure, we can get a laptop. Sure, we can get an Xbox. Sure, we can get whatever it is that you're interested in. That's cool. We'll celebrate. It'll be so much fun. But let me tell you, there is no substitution for Jesus Christ, family, kids, boys and girls, moms and dads. We have to come together as families and understand that there is no substitution for Jesus. Everything else is either sin or it is error. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. But what are the next lyrics? Till He appeared and the soul. Y'all know these words? Till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. I want to talk to you about this. When Christ came to us, He gave us another option besides sin. And besides error, He gave us a third option. He gave us redemption. All right. We read that. It's in our scripture reading. It's in our scripture memory verse this month. In Galatians 4:4-6, it says that we have redemption through the Son. Amen. We have redemption through Him. And Christ's arrival isn't just an external happening. Okay? When your kids open up the present, they see something external. They play with it. It's external unless you have a kid that swallows it. Then it's internal. But then it'll be external soon. Ugh. All right. All these external things. Christ came and He is an external baby. He is a physical baby that people looked at, people touched, people heard Him, people saw Him eat. He's a little baby, sweet little baby. He was external in that regard. But He is so much more than just something external, isn't He?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, He's internal. The Bible says in our scripture memory verse that the Spirit, that God has put the Spirit of His Son inside of us. It's internal. Yeah. that this Jesus wasn't just, hey, look at that guy over there. He says really cool things. Look at that guy over there. Some people say he's the Messiah. Look at that dude over there. Look at that religion over there. Look at that. No, it is so much more than look at that. It's feel this inside of you. Feel this changing you from the inside out. Feel this love coming up in you. Feel this peace coming up in you. Feel this joy on and on and on. This Jesus is not just external, he's internal.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Christ's arrival, it does something on the inside. Will you let him do something on your inside today? To do something on your in your heart. When he appears, it says the soul felt its worth. Now, I'm going to tell you, this may have been written by an atheist, but my goodness, he had some insight right here.
Right.
When he appears, you realize you have worth. Do you realize he walked up to a woman caught in the act of adultery? And he says, go your way and sin no more. He restored to her life. People were trying to take her life. He restored to her life. She left that place with worth. There were cast aside people. They were fishermen. There were cast aside people. They were tax collectors. Nobody thought twice about them. If they did think twice about them, they're like, I really wish they'd be not here. I can't stand these people. This is what they were thinking. They were from Galilee. Galilee were the country bumpkins of Israel. Nobody thought highly of a Galilean. Nobody did. But Jesus walks up to them and he says, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Walks up to a tax collector. Nobody trusts this tax collector. He's a sellout working with the Roman government. He looks up at him and he says, follow me. Real quick, do you know what it means when somebody walks up and says, follow you? Here's what it meant in Hebrew culture. It meant that the rabbi had gone out and he had chosen you to be his follower, to be his student. And all these boys, they passed that age long ago. They're now men. They passed the age where any rabbi would ever look at them and call them. But this rabbi, Jesus, the good teacher, he walks up to them and he says, I'm picking you. You're going to be my follower. I'm going to give you the light of the world. I'm going to put it in you. I'm going to make you mighty. And what you're doing right now, it's nothing compared to what you're going to do in my kingdom. You get that picture of Jesus? He changes our worth. When he appears, the soul felt its worth. I want to tell you, at the age of 8 years old, I was a suicidal little kid. I had some real issues going on in my life. I had no value on myself. I valued other people, but I couldn't value myself. I could love other people, but I couldn't love myself because I knew how messed up and how flawed I was. I knew how far I'd fallen short of just being decent. I'm 8 years old. That's where I was. I had some really dark things going on in my life. I was worried that one day I would take my life. But one day, I wandered down to the front of a church and Jesus Christ appeared in my life and I realized, wait a second, he really does love me. He really thinks I am worthwhile. And with huge tears in my eyes, I just told Jesus, I love you. How can you possibly love me? And he filled me with his spirit on that very night, January 24th, 1988. When he appears, worth comes. I felt unworthy. He calls me worthy. He calls me son. He calls me out of darkness into his marvelous light. When he appears, the soul felt its worth. You feeling a little worthless today? You need Jesus Christ to appear in this place.
All right.
To you. I got good news. He will. He will. Do you know that your soul has worth today? Do you realize that the reason Jesus Christ came to earth was because he thought you were worth it? The reason he lived a sinless life, the reason he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, they didn't nail him to the cross. He stayed up there. He allowed it to happen. He said, "You don't take my life. I lay my life down, Pilate." That's what he said. Do you realize the reason he did that, girls? Was because he says, "You have worth. You are loved by him." That's what it is. And he rose up again, and he is ascended to heaven, and he's preparing a place for us. He's going to come again. Why? Because you are worth it. Heaven knows that you are worth it. You're late to the game. You're the last to realize that you are so worthwhile. Let's just go ahead and go there. Because the enemy's been after you. You know, the enemy's not going to chase somebody not worth his time. He's done shown his hand, hasn't he? He's been attacking you. He's been lying to you. You couldn't have done a bigger, dumber thing, Satan. Oh, the enemy's after you. That just, it's another testimony that you are worthwhile. But guess what? You are more than a conqueror through him that loves you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. What can separate you from the love of God? He has put the very spirit of adoption inside of you with Jesus inside of you. And now you have access to the Father. In fact, you don't call him by formal names. You cry out, Abba, Father. Somebody really ought to learn their scripture memory verse this month. It's a really good one. Galatians 4:4-6. When he appears, the soul felt its worth. Have you ever noticed that the worst things that happen usually happen at night? You get what I'm saying? It happens at night. It's no surprise to you that most domestic violence occurs at night. Most suicides happen when? At night. No one's surprised by that. Most thefts and murders happen in the darkness of night. Most people succumb to their drug addiction or alcohol addiction at night. They're able to tell it no in the daytime when everybody's looking, but at nighttime, that's when they're most vulnerable. We dread nighttime phone calls. At least your pastor does. I dread Saturday night phone calls like everything in the world, all right? Saturday night phone calls. Because good news usually doesn't come at night, right? None of you have ever called me at 3 a.m. and said, "Pastor, I just want to say, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, and I'm so thankful for the Word of God you preached last Sunday. See you tomorrow. Can't wait." That never happens. Don't do that, by the way, because I need my beauty sleep. I need it. Obviously, I haven't been getting enough, right? The worst things always seem to happen at night. Now, Scripture doesn't actually tell us verbatim that Jesus was born at night. It doesn't actually say, and he was born at 3 a.m. in the morning. It doesn't say he was actually born at night. But it is often assumed he was born at night because it says the shepherds watch their flocks at night, right? So it's not crazy to think that. Luke 2:8 says that. We can argue about whether Jesus was born in the a.m. or the p.m. Who thinks that's not what's really important there? It's not what's really important. But right now, I want to tell you that Jesus was born when the world was completely dark. Like it was nighttime in the world. That the world was lost in sin and error. And Jesus Christ stepped into the night. When things usually happen at their worst, that's when Jesus shows up. He shows up in the middle of the worst heartache. He shows up in the middle of the worst disaster. He shows up when all your friends have turned their back on you. If you will just pay attention, you'll see Jesus show up. Mary thought her world was ending, but Jesus showed up right there. All of Israel was under the sword of Rome, but Jesus showed up right there. They had just spent 400 years where God was no longer talking to them. They had no prophets. The word of God was not being proclaimed in any way like it had in the past. It was like, God is done with us. What a dark moment that is. But look out, the light of the world showed up in the middle of the darkness. Yeah, amen. The worst things happen at night, but I want to tell you, Jesus comes in the nighttime. He shows up. Jesus came at night. Jesus came when there was no hope for redemption. Jesus came when it seemed that there was no way. Somebody say, no way. There seemed no way that things could ever change. But he showed up when there seemed to be no way. And he declared, I am the way. Right? Jesus came to a mother who was being lied about because she was pregnant. She was being lied about, but she gave birth to someone who proclaimed that he is the truth. The way, the truth. What's next? All right. Yeah. Jesus came to a world where everyone was swallowed up by death. Everybody's future is that they are going to die and they're going to be in a grave and then they are going to go to hell. That was everybody's future. But on this night, life came into the world and Jesus declared, I am the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. He conquered death. He conquered hell, and he conquered the grave. When things are at their worst, Jesus shows up. He shows up in the darkness. That's some good news for people, because you've been facing some darkness today. We live in a dark society. We live in a scary world, but I want to encourage you that Jesus shows up in the darkness. Maybe you've got some situations in your life you don't know what to do. Invite Jesus to show up. The truth is, he's already present. You just don't recognize it yet. You haven't surrendered to him yet. I have never had a problem that Jesus didn't want to stand in the center of the problem and be the answer. All right. Do you understand that about our God? He wants to be the provider. But I'm sick. The doctor said this. He wants to be the healer. Yeah. But you don't understand. I've got enemies that are going. He wants to be the shepherd who protects you. Amen. That's what he wants to be. There's people judging me. There's people talking. He wants to be your righteous judge. Yeah. That's what he wants to be. On and on. Jesus wants to stand in the middle of your problem and not give you a gift. He wants to be the gift. He wants to be the answer. He doesn't want to point you to the answer. He wants to be the answer. Can you just tell him, Jesus, be the answer? You're my answer, Lord. You're my answer. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. What's the next line? For yonder breaks a new, glorious morning. The worst things seem to happen at night. Usually when you're in the difficulty of night, you say this phrase to yourself. Have you ever gone through a night like this where you said this phrase? If I can just make it to morning. That's true, isn't it? I hate it that I had some friends that committed suicide in the nighttime. I know if they would have just made it to morning. They would have just made it to a breakfast with me. We just could have sipped on coffee and talked about, hey, Jesus loves you. If we could have just gotten to there. There's some people that went and just wrecked their marriage at nighttime. If they could have just made it to morning. There is that addict that has continually tried to turn away from it, but continually in the nighttime. If they could have just made it past that one night, maybe they could have stepped into a new morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? These situations that if you could just hold on a little longer, hope's coming. I want to tell you today, don't you dare give up. Because the moment Jesus shows up, that's when morning starts. The moment he shows up, that's when all the darkness goes away. Do you know that the Bible says that our God is a consuming fire And there is no darkness in him at all. There's no, in him there's no darkness. He expels the darkness. What fellowship has light with darkness? That's why when Jesus shows up, you see demons running. That's why you see when Jesus shows up, the men that were about to stone the woman that was caught in the act, they're dumbfounded. They don't even know what to say. Just dumb. Dumbfounded. They don't know what to say in front of Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up, darkness is expelled. I want to tell you that you have a God today. He wants to show up and he wants to expel all the darkness. And he wants to be the light. He wants to be the light. If you can just make it till morning, you don't have to make it any further. You don't have to wait an hour. You can have Jesus right now. Jesus Christ has come and he's ended the night. There is a thrill of hope that this world hasn't felt since about Genesis 2. And it's because Jesus Christ has come to earth. We're about to spend some time talking to God. Before we do, I need you to think about three things really quick. I want you to be thinking about these three things as you come in just a moment, all right? Number one, are you living in the hope of Jesus today? Is your hope somewhere else? Is your hope on your bank account? Is your hope in your relationship? Is your hope in your Instagram followers? Is your hope in something else, whatever it is? Or is Jesus Christ your hope today? Are you perhaps in sin or in error and pining, regretfully lacking something? Is that you today? That's number one. Number two, perhaps you know the story of Christ's birth. That's really awesome. It's so good to know the story of Christ's birth. But I want to remind you, O Holy Night was written by someone who didn't know Christ. And although he had beautiful words, he stepped into eternity without Jesus Christ being his Savior. I want to tell you today, you need to go past knowing a few carols. You need to go past knowing about the wise men, knowing about the shepherds. You need to know him. You need to know him. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want you today to come into the first 2 feet. You see where I'm standing right here? This is where you need to come today. You need to come up here. And when we ask you, we always ask. We ask, how can we pray for you? I want you to say, I know the story, but I don't know him. I want to know him today. This place is for you today. That's number two. Number three, the last thing I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you this. Are you living in the night? Or are you living in the new and glorious morn? Are you living in nighttime fear? Because that's what Jesus wants to deliver you from right now. Are you living in nighttime regret of yesterday? Jesus Christ wants to set you free from that today. Raise your hand if you believe he can. Raise your hand. I'll look at all of this house. We believe it. These altars are open. Why don't you come pray? Don't wait. Don't look around for what everyone else is doing. Why don't you get a hold of God? If you want special prayer, we want you to come in the first 2 feet of this altar. This lets us know that you want something from God, and we're going to come pray for you. Come on, let's talk to the Lord in this house. Come on, don't let this moment just pass you by. Come on, we've been focusing on the wrong things in this season for far too long. Come on, take a moment and say, my family is going to be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he was born in a manger. I thank you that he's not just a story. He is more than just a Christmas carol. He is my Savior. He is my life. light. He is my life. He is the way and He is the truth. I thank You, Lord. I want You to move in this place, God. Lord, I want every person in this house to have a relationship with You. Anybody watching or listening online, listen to me. Call out to the Lord. He is right there with you. He is the light of the world. He is the hope of all nations. Call on Him right now. Father, meet their need, God. Lord, Father, God, come stand in the middle of their situation and be the answer, God. Jesus, Lord, we love You. Come on, Redemption Church, let's call out to the Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's give Him praise in this moment, God. Lord, we love You. Lord,
for more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.